show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is on when you get there, and you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. I'm with you for the next 2 hours on this 13th day of March 2006. On the program today, I'm going to hit a lot of different subjects. One about our Serbian buddy over there, Slobodan Milosevic, which supposedly he was going through a trial, crimes against humanity. And all of a sudden, he up and dies. Well, there seemed to be a little mix-up in his medications. He did die of a heart attack, apparently, but the stuff that he was taking to regulate his heart and keep his little pumper pumping there, well, he was on other medication that basically null and voided that. So we'll get into that issue also. Scholars for 9/11 Truths, Michael Meyer, a mechanical engineer, sent this over to Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and says basically, no, a 757 did not hit the Pentagon. Also in today's news, there was a letter that was sent to President George W. Bush that I want to read here, and it was by Joseph W. DeRocher, and this pretty much sums it up. You know, the other day I reported on this program that they've had about 8,000 people surrounding this wonderful Gulf War that they keep wanting to justify and expand in. Well, about 8,000 servicemen have hit the road. They deserted, basically. It's one thing that it's a pretty scary proposition to be labeled as a deserter, because in military terms, hey, they can line you up against the wall and shoot you for that. So how bad is it that 8,000 people just hit the high road? Well, and it's very, very interesting. And this man's letter goes right to the point of it, that this man in Washington, D.C., to all of our fallen heroes that have ever served in the military, this guy is a slap in the face to all of them. I mean, folks, we're poisoning with the depleted uranium. We're killing off people, and I still say that this is planned genocide. As they don't give a hoot about the soldiers. Do you think if they actually cared about the soldiers over there, that they would have supplied them or not supplied them the way they did? Putting them in harm's way, telling them to stand on street corners and inspect people and just stand there and get just blown away. These aren't cops, folks. It's not the job of our military to stand around on street corners and play street cop. Or, for that matter, doing dynamic entries, house-to-house searches and seizures. Really not the job. Going after the civilian populace. Military people are taught to draw up lines and shoot the bad guys. Well, over there, you don't know who the bad guy is. But a lot of people are figuring out the very people that are supposedly wearing the white hats, they very well may be the bad guys. And those bad guys, of course, being us. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
C Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And, of course, always to keep 9/11 on the front burner, folks, this is the reason why our government decided that, we just can't be trusted with all these rights. And in order to keep us safe, they just have to curtail our constitutional rights. Actually, they're our God-given rights. These didn't come from the government, folks, okay? Constitution is not written for the individual because we already have the rights. The Constitution was written for the government, so they wouldn't trample your rights. But, you know, for light and transient reasons. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We were attacked on September 11, 2001, of grave national concern. So, therefore, in order to get the bad guys to have this war on terror, to go get Osama bin Laden or anybody else that wants to be like Osama, well, of course, these aren't light and transient reasons, so don't pose that argument to us. This was necessary. Really? So say most of the tyrants in recorded history. A Boeing 757 did not hit the Pentagon, by Mike Meyer, mechanical engineer. And he wrote this to the members of the scientific panel investigating 9/11. He said, "I'd like to give you my input as to the events on September 11th and why it's physically provable fact that some of the damage done to the Pentagon could not have occurred from a Boeing 757 impact. And therefore, the 9/11 Commission report is not complete and arguably a cover-up. I will not speculate about what may have been covered up. I will only speak from my professional opinion, but I will explain why I do not believe the Pentagon was hit by a Boeing 757. I'm a mechanical engineer who spent many years in aerospace, including structural design, and in the design and use of shaped charged explosives, like the one that would be used in missile warheads. The structural design of a large aircraft like a 757 is based around managing the structural loads of pressurized vessels, the cabin, to near atmospheric conditions while at the lower pressure region of cruising altitudes, and to handle the structural and aerodynamic loads of the wings, control surfaces, and the fuel load. It is made as light as possible and is certainly not made to handle impact loads of any kind. If a 757 were to strike a reinforced concrete wall, the energy and the speed and the weight of the aircraft would be transferred, in part, into the wall and to the structural failure of the aircraft. It is not too far of an analogy as if you had an empty aluminum can traveling at high speed hitting a reinforced concrete wall. The aluminum can would crumple. The proper engineering term is buckle. And depending on the structural integrity of the wall, crack, crumble, or fail completely, the wall failure would not be a neat little hole, as the energy of the impact would be spread throughout the wall by the reinforcing steel. This is difficult to model accurately, as any high-speed, high-energy impact on a complex structure like an aircraft, it is a discontinuous wall without windows, etc., is very difficult. What is known is that nearly all the energy from the event would be dissipated in the initial impact and subsequent buckling of the aircraft. We are led to believe that not only did a 757 penetrate the outer wall, but continued on to penetrate separate internal walls totaling 9 feet of reinforced concrete. The final breach of concrete was nearly perfectly cut circular hole in a reinforced concrete wall, with no subsequent damage to the rest of the wall. And he puts in parentheses here, if we are able to believe that somehow this aluminum aircraft did in fact reach the sixth and final wall. He writes about the exit hole in Pentagon Ring C. American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757, is alleged to have punched through 6 blast-resistant concrete walls, a total of 9 feet of reinforced concrete, before exiting through this hole. It is physically impossible for the wall to have failed in a neat, clean, cut circle, period. When I first saw this hole, a chill went down my spine because I knew it was not possible to have a reinforced concrete wall fail in this manner. It should have caved in some fashion. Now, how do you create a nice, clean hole in a reinforced wall? With an explosive-shaped charge. An explosive-shaped charge or cutting charge is used in various military warhead devices. You design the geometry of the explosive charge so that you create a focused line of energy. You essentially focus nearly all the explosive energy in what is referred to as a jet. You use this jet to cut and penetrate armor on a tank or the walls of a bunker. The signature is clear and unmistakable. In a missile, the explosive charge is circular to allow the payload behind the initial shape charge to enter whatever has been penetrated. I do not know what happened on 9/11. I do not know the politics, the political works in this country. I cannot explain why the mainstream media does not report on problems with the 9/11 Commission, but I am an engineer, and I know what happens in high-speed impacts and how shape charges are used to cut through materials. I've not addressed several other major gaps in the Pentagon 757 incident. The fact that this aircraft somehow ripped several light towers clean out of the ground without any damage to the aircraft, which I also feel is impossible. The fact that the two main engines were never recovered from the wreckage, and the fact that our government has direct video coverage of the flight path and impact from at least a gas station and a hotel, which they have refused to release. You can call me a tin hat crazy, conspiracy theorist, etc., but I can say from my expertise that the damage to the Pentagon was not caused by a Boeing 757. Sincerely, Michael Meyer. I think that pretty much says it. A lot of people have contested this. Yeah, and why has the media not really questioned the 9/11? I mean, folks, they transformed the government right before our very eyes over this. That in the Twin Towers. And, of course, that plane that supposedly augured in Pennsylvania. You know, They're coming out with movies about this now, which is really dicey for Hollywood producers to be doing this. I mean, nobody but one guy wanted to make a movie about JFK. That was Oliver Stone. And that was dicey in itself. Nobody before had really done a movie on JFK, and nobody since then had done it either. Well, for a simple reason. Somebody that is good enough to make a president go away and then cover up all these years, do I really want to be sticking a sharp stick in that tiger's eye? But this is a little bit different here. Yeah, JFK, it was a tragic thing in this country's history, no matter what you thought of the man. The fact is that they mowed down a president right before God and all his people and got away with it. Well, the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, happened September 11, 2001. Only it wasn't just one man. It was over 3,000 people. But along the way into fixing this terrible problem we have, we've got to take away everybody's rights, you know, kit, lock, stock, and caboodle. Just everything gone. And we're doing this for your protection. You got to believe us. You got to trust us. Well, let me see. Let me check back in my memory. This might take a minute to see when the last time I trusted anything that this government had said. Still searching the memory banks. Can't find a one. Sorry. This regime in Washington, D.C. has to go. Now, they're talking about censuring the man. Well, what do you think, folks? Do you think this man needs to be censured? And the idea behind censure somebody is to politically smack them down a little bit so they don't make the same cockamamie mistake again. Do you think that's within the realm and understanding of somebody like George W. Bush? Why do I get this haunting thought that the next president in 2008 is going to be John Kerry? Forget Hillary Clinton. This old vagabond's got too much baggage. She's not going to make it. John Kerry will be your man. Now, Hillary Clinton may be the vice presidential choice. You got to bring a cast iron bitch into that White House one way or another, and that would be one way to do it. Think Mr. Kerry's a little milquetoast on some subjects? Well, very well, maybe. That's why you bring in somebody to the bully pulpit like Hillary Clinton. She'll get the job done. Always has. Did it for hubby Bill, even though they were at odds with each other about 98% of the time. Politically, they still stuck together, didn't they? Now, personally, they wanted to kill each other at times. They probably even tried. But this is politics, folks. Big power game. And the more adept at it realize what is at stake. Literally, their survival. We got to keep up the ruse. Got to keep the power management teams in there. And I'm talking about Bush and Clinton. They were just a little bit too close for anybody's comfort. So John Kerry in the White House, 2008, that's my prediction. Hillary Clinton, possibly vice president. And it would be the easiest way. If just something magically happened to John Kerry, that we would have Hillary Clinton as president and just a little conjecture here. Well, then we might see Bill Clinton as the head of the United Nations. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is. Well, here is one man that decided that he had had enough of this. And before I get into this, I just want to explain that there are many people, and the news medias are not reporting this. They're putting the happy face. You know, we've got to support our troops. How many of these clowns are you hearing on TV? You've got to support the troops. We've got to see the mission through. No, we don't, folks. There's not one more American serviceman or one more Iraqi citizen that needs to be killed over this madman that's got this regime and the front dummy that's operating in the District of Criminals right now. And I'm speaking of Mr. George Bush. Not one more man, woman, or child. That's it. Get his butt out of there, and dare the next president that occupies the Oval Office. You make a cockamamie move like this character did, it ain't going to be censorship talk. It ain't going to be maybe possible impeachment. It's going to be jail, dude. We'll come back. I'll read this letter from George W. DeRocher, and he nails it right on the head. And many other service people think the very same way. Only this guy, he turned in his wings. He turned in his commission. Says, I want nothing further to do with you and the outright murder anymore. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today. Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
You know, I was thinking during the break, you know, sometimes my wording of certain subject matter might be a little strong for some people, but calling Hillary Clinton a cast iron bitch is not a stretch of anybody's imagination. I could think of a lot worse things to call this thing that's been this political pariah, this leech in our government for how many years. So I make no apologies. If you get a little upset that I use such terminology, well, forgive me, your upsettedness. But I don't think it's strong enough. I don't think people are outraged enough. I don't think people are even caring enough. So it behooves the ones that are remaining around that at least has the intestinal fortitude to call a spade a spade. So I make no apologies for that, but I am sorry if it upsets you. I will try to rein myself in the future. This came from Joseph W. DeRocher. He sent a letter to President George W. Bush at the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. President, as a young man, I was honored to serve our nation as a commissioned officer and a helicopter pilot in the U.S. Navy. Before me in World War II, my father defended the country, spending 2 years in the Pacific aboard the USS Hornet. We were patriots sworn to protect and defend. Today I conclude that you have dishonored our service and the Constitution and principles of our oath. My dad was buried with full military honors, so I cannot act for him, but for myself, I return enclosed the symbols of my years of service, the shoulder boards of my rank, and my naval aviator wings. Until your administration, I believed it was inconceivable that the United States would ever initiate an aggressive and preemptive war against a country that posed no threat to us. Until your administration, I thought it was impossible for our nation to take hundreds of persons into custody without provable charges of any kind and to disappear them into holes like Gitmo or Abu Ghraib or Bagram. Until your administration, in my wildest legal fantasy, I could not imagine a U.S. Attorney General seeking to justify torture or of a president first stating his intent to veto an anti-torture law and then adding a signature statement that he intends to ignore such laws as he sees fit. I do not want these things done in my name. As a citizen, as a patriot, a parent and a grandparent, a lawyer and a law teacher, I am left with such a feeling of loss and helplessness. I think myself as a good American, and I ask myself, what can I do when I see the face of evil? Illegal and immoral war, torture and confinement for life without trial have never been part of our constitutional tradition. But my vote has become meaningless because I live in a safe district drawn by your political party. My congressman is unresponsive to my concerns because his time is filled with lobbyist largesse. Protests are limited to your free speech zones, out of sight of parade. Even speaking openly is to risk being labeled un-American, pro-terrorist, or anti-troops. And I am a disciplined pacifist, so any violent act is out of the question. Nevertheless, to remain silent is to let you think I approve or support your actions. I do not. So I am saddened to give up my wings and bars. They were hard won, and my parents and wife were as proud as I was when I earned them over 40 years ago. But I hate the torture and death you have caused more than I value their symbolism. Giving them up makes me cry for my beloved country. Joseph W. DeRosier. I'd say that's a pretty powerful letter to our president, don't you folks? And he's not the only guy that thinks this way. And this is only going to continue. If you're watching what the Democrats are doing right now, they're posturing themselves. They are going to take over the reins of any Republican that is sitting in that office right now. It's going to be a seamless change. And they might go a little bit softer on the war part of it, but your Constitution is still destroyed because you know what? They believe in the war on terrorism. And that is Mr. Bush's lasting legacy to these other handmaidens of the defeat of the Constitutional Republic. They're all in league with each other. They are so compromised they dare not speak out. That is, if they even wanted to. To speak out against this kind of unspeakable evil would have to take something of a conscience. To feel guilt or remorse or to have a bad day mentally, there's got to be something tugging at you, pulling you in the other direction. I don't think any of these people on Capitol Hill even remotely resemble something that's conscionable. They're going to rubber stamp everything. There is talk right now that, well, you know, before this Iran deal, that we've got to have a vote in Congress. Evidently, these clowns stuck up their political finger in the wind to see which way the political winds were blowing and found out that, no, you guys in Congress have a constitutional duty. You see, if you're going to shed somebody else's blood, you've got to put your John Hancock on it. And I do not mean to slight Mr. Hancock. Just a saying. But an open declaration, an open vote to go to war and destroy other people in a foreign country is the responsibility of Congress. Always has been, always shall be. So you're hearing little murmurings about, well, you know, well, just maybe, you know, just maybe we might have to have a vote on this Iranian thing. But it's still moving ahead, isn't it? Using our good buds and pals at the United Nations to do sanctions and whatever else to cause disharmony, more death and destruction in the Middle East under the banner of what? Democracy? Give them McDonald's on one street corner and a XXX movie theater on the other. And oh, by the way, the currency in those establishments will be managed by the IMF. Don't worry, you're in safe hands.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one National Populist News Weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Let me slide in a quick phone call here, and then I want to read you what Ron Paul said before the U.S. House of Representatives. He did this last month, the end of dollar hegemony. I'll get to that article. Ron, if you were ever worried about being killed before for any of your political stances, I think you just crossed the line, my friend. I think it's time to come home to Texas and be its state's governor. What do you think? Russell in Tennessee. Hello, Russell.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Great, great, great. Hey, listen, the reason for my call, I just wanted to call and give you praise for the gentleman that you're having on Thursdays. I just went to a seminar that John Amesworth had this weekend over in Tennessee, in Newport, Tennessee, and I will have to tell you, I cannot thank you enough for giving these gentlemen the time on the air to get out there the information that's needed so that, you know, we can begin as people to, you know, not just to understand what's going on with ourselves, but to take action and take an activist part and, you know, and how we can start regaining our freedom.
That is the whole crux of it. I am really bothered by putting out just the negative news all the time. And people must be aware of what's going on. And a change will be made when enough people are hearing the message and they finally decide that they've had it with their screwed up lives and they want to make a change. In this particular case, real progress is regressing. And that might sound strange to some people, but whatever worked before for this country has and can work again.
And that is the that's the absolute truth of what Mr. Ainsworth was speaking this weekend.
Yeah.
I know that you're familiar with what he's done over in North Carolina, with what the gentleman that, that you have on Thursdays have done in North Carolina. And so we, the people over here in Tennessee, we're taking steps to start it in our state. We're going to be having two seminars for him back to back in May. And we're going to start promoting him throughout the different states to, you know, for everyone to take part in this and to at least get themselves educated to decide whether or not this is what's going to be best for them. There's been so much, you know, disinformation and so much, you know, misguidedness throughout the Patriot movement
right.
that, you know, this is a, this is getting down to the clear and concise reason of why we lost our freedoms and how to recapture it and how to regain it. So once again, I just can't thank you enough for what you do. You're an outstanding patriot. You've been instrumental in waking me up and countless other people. So I commend and congratulate you to everyone who's listening. And this broadcast network is the best thing that's the best thing that could possibly happen for America today and for America tomorrow. So support it with all your heart, all your being, and pray for RBN and the people of this nation.
Thank you. I appreciate your sentiments. Thank you, Russell. And that's been the whole point of this exercise, folks. And you know what? We don't have enough good patriots. That's why we need to make more, because we're wearing the ones that have been out on the front lines all these years. We need a little break here. I'm not talking about withdrawal from the movement. No, because the movement itself is still in its infancy. It's still in its baby steps. We've got to be bigger, badder, more aggressive, more loud. All of these things. That has been my constant complaint. Some enterprising individual one day said, "Well, you whine too much." Really? I evidently not enough. We are not anywhere near the place that we need to be. To actually have a chance, folks, and if you take a look at the next generation coming up under us, I'm telling you, if we do not make the necessary changes now and institute a program to return this country to its constitutional basis, the United States will cease to exist. And for those poor children that are coming after us, for the job that we failed to do, just think what we're going to be handing them. You think your life is bad right now? For anybody that wanted to be a free individual in this country in the years to come, good luck, Charlie. You'd probably be freer in China or Russia. The Honorable Ron Paul of Texas before the House of Representatives. And I'm serious about this, Ron. Stuff like this will get you killed. You know, he was worried about his political career, about being in Washington, D.C. He raises some hackles. But not enough. Where Mr. Ron Paul could raise the most hackles and do the most good is running for governor of this state. And it's really not a state. I'm talking about the corporate entity. It's really a republic, folks. It really is. This is what Mr. Paul had to say. He said, 100 years ago, it was called dollar diplomacy. After World War II, and especially after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989, that policy evolved into dollar hegemony. But after all these many years of great success, our dollar dominance is coming to an end. It has been said rightly that he who holds the gold makes the rules. In earlier times, it was readily accepted that fair and honest trade required an exchange for something of real value. First, it was simply barter of goods. Then it was discovered that gold held a universal attraction and was a convenient substitute for more cumbersome barter transactions. Not only did gold facilitate exchange of goods and services, it served as a store of value for those who wanted to save for a rainy day. Through money developed naturally in the marketplace, as governments grew in power, they assumed monopoly control over money. Sometimes governments succeeded in guaranteeing the quality and the purity of gold, but in time, governments learned to outspend their revenues. New or higher taxes always incurred the disapproval of the people, so it wasn't long before the kings and the Caesars learned how to inflate their currencies by reducing the amount of gold in each coin, always hoping their subjects wouldn't discover the fraud, but the people always did, and they strenuously objected. This helped pressure leaders to seek more gold by conquering other nations. The people became accustomed to living beyond their means and enjoyed the circuses and the bread. Financing extravagance by conquering foreign lands seemed a logical alternative to working harder and producing more. Besides, conquering nations not only brought home gold, they brought home slaves as well. Taxing the people in conquered territories also provided an incentive to build empires. The system of government worked well for a while, but the moral decline of the people led to an unwillingness to produce for themselves. There was a limit to the number of countries that could be sacked for their wealth, and this always brought empires to an end. When gold no longer could be obtained, their military might crumbled. In those days, who held the gold truly wrote the rules and lived well. That general rule has held fast throughout the ages. When gold was used and the rules protected, honest commerce, productive nations thrived. Whenever wealthy nations, those with powerful armies and gold, strived only for empire and easy fortunes to support welfare at home, those nations failed. Today, the principles are the same, but the process is quite different. Gold no longer is the currency of the realm. Paper is. The truth now is, he who prints the money makes the rules, at least for the time being. Although gold is not used, the goals are the same: compel foreign countries to produce and subsidize the country with military superiority and control over monetary printing presses. Since printing paper money is nothing short of counterfeiting, the issuer of the international currency must always be the country with the military might to guarantee control over the system. This magnificent scheme seems the perfect system for obtaining perpetual wealth for their country that issues the de facto world currency. The one problem, however, is that such a system destroys the character of the counterfeiting nation's people, just as was the case when gold was the currency and it was obtained by conquering other nations. And this destroys the incentive to save and produce while encouraging debt and runaway welfare. The pressure at home to inflate the currency comes from the corporate welfare recipients, as well as those who demand handouts as compensation for their needs and perceived injuries by others. In both cases, personal responsibility for one's actions is rejected. When paper money is rejected, or when gold runs out, wealth and political stability are lost. The country must then go from living beyond its means to living beneath its means, until the economic and political systems adjust to the new rules, rules no longer written by those who ran the now-defunct printing press. Dollar diplomacy, a policy instituted by William Howard Taft and his Secretary of State, Philander C. Knox, was designed to enhance U.S. commercial investments in Latin America and the Far East. McKinley concocted a war against Spain in 1898, and Teddy Roosevelt, corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, preceded Taft's aggressive approach to using the U.S. dollar and diplomatic influence to secure U.S. investments abroad. This earned the popular title of dollar diplomacy. The significance of Roosevelt's change was that our intervention now could be justified by mere appearance that a country of interest to us was politically or fiscally vulnerable to European control. Not only did we claim a right, but even an official U.S. government obligation to protect our commercial interest from Europeans. This new policy came on the heels of the gunboat diplomacy of the late 19th century. And it meant we could buy influence before resorting to the threat of force. By the time the dollar diplomacy of William Howard Taft was clearly articulated, the seeds of American empire were planted, and they were destined to grow in the fertile political soil of a country that lost its love and respect for the republic bequeathed to us by the authors of the Constitution. And indeed, they did. It wasn't too long before the dollar diplomacy became dollar hegemony in the second half of the 20th century. This transition only could have occurred with a dramatic change in monetary policy and the nature of the dollar itself. Congress created the Federal Reserve System in 1913. Between then and 1971, the principle of sound money was systematically undermined. Between 1913 and 1971, the Federal Reserve found it much easier to expand the money supply at will for financing war or manipulating the economy with little resistance from Congress, while benefiting the special interests that influence government. Dollar dominance got a huge boost after World War II. We were spared the destruction that so many other nations suffered, and our coffers were filled with the world's gold. But the world chose not to return to the discipline of the gold standard, and the politicians applauded. printing money to pay the bills was a lot more popular than taxing or restraining unnecessary spending. In spite of the short-term benefits, imbalances were institutionalized for decades to come. The 1944 Bretton Woods Agreement solidified the dollar as the preeminent world reserve currency, replacing the British pound. Due to our political and military muscle, and because we had a huge amount of physical gold, the world readily accepted our dollar, defined as 1/35th of an ounce of gold, as the world's reserve currency. The dollar was paid to, or said to be, I'm sorry, as good as gold, and convertible to all foreign central banks at the rate. For American citizens, however, it remained illegal to own. This was a gold exchange standard that from inception was doomed to fail. The U.S. did exactly what many predicted she would do. She printed more dollars for which there was no gold backing. But the world was content to accept those dollars for more than 25 years with little question, until the French and others in the late 1960s demanded we fulfill our promise to pay 1 ounce of gold for each $35 they delivered to the U.S. Treasury. This resulted in a huge gold drain that brought to an end to a very poorly devised pseudo-gold standard. It all ended on August 15, 1971, when Nixon closed the gold window and refused to pay out any of our remaining 280 million ounces of gold. In essence, we declared our insolvency, and everyone recognized some other monetary system had to be devised in order to bring stability to the markets. Amazingly, a new system was devised which allowed the U.S. to operate the printing presses for the world reserve currency with no restraints placed on it, not even a pretense of gold convertibility, none whatsoever. Through the new policy was even more deeply flawed. It nevertheless opened the door for dollar hegemony to spread. Now, realizing the world was embarking on something new and mind-boggling, elite money managers, especially strong support from U.S. authorities, struck an agreement with OPEC to price oil in U.S. dollars exclusively for all the world's transactions. This gave the dollar a special place among world currencies and, in essence, backed the dollar with oil. In return, the U.S. promised to protect the various oil-rich kingdoms in the Persian Gulf against threat of invasion or domestic coup. This arrangement helped ignite the radical Islamic movement among those who resented our influence in the region. The agreement gave the dollar artificial strength with tremendous financial benefits for the United States. It allowed us to export our monetary inflation by buying oil and other goods at great discounts as dollar influence flourished. Now, this post-Bretton Woods system was much more fragile than the system that existed between 1945 and 1971. Through the dollar-oil arrangement was helpful. It was not nearly as stable as the pseudo-gold standard on the Bretton Woods. It certainly was less stable than the gold standard of the late 19th century. During the 1970s, the dollar nearly collapsed as oil prices surged and gold skyrocketed to over $800 an ounce. By 1979, interest rates at 21% were required to rescue the system. The pressure on the dollar in the 1970s, in spite of the benefits accrued to it, reflected reckless budget deficits and monetary inflation during the 1960s. The markets were not fooled by LBJ's claim that we could afford both guns and butter. Now, once again, the dollar was rescued. And this ushered in the age of the true dollar hegemony lasting from the early 1980s to present. With tremendous cooperation coming from the central banks and international commercial banks, the dollar was accepted as if it were gold. Fed Chair Alan Greenspan, on several occasions before the House Banking Committee, answered my challenges to him about his previously held favorable views on gold by claiming he and other central bankers had gotten paper money, that is, the dollar system, to respond as if it were gold. Each time I strongly disagreed and pointed out that if they had achieved such a feat, they could have defied centuries of economic history regarding the need for money to be something of real value. He smugly and confidently concurred with this. In recent years, central banks and various financial institutions, all with vested interest in maintaining a workable fiat dollar standard, were not secretive about selling and loaning large amounts of gold to the market, even while decreasing gold prices raised serious questions about the wisdom of such a policy. They never admitted to gold price fixing, but the evidence is abundant that they believed if the gold price fell, it would convey a sense of confidence to the market, confidence that they indeed had achieved amazing success in turning paper into gold. Now, increasing gold prices historically are viewed as an indicator of distrust in paper currency. This recent effort was not a whole lot different than the U.S. Treasury selling gold at $35 an ounce in the 1960s in an attempt to convince the world the dollar was sound as good as gold. Even during the Depression, one of Roosevelt's first acts was to remove the market gold pricing as an indication of a flawed monetary policy by making it illegal for Americans to own gold. Economic law eventually limited that effort, as it did in the early 1970s when our Treasury and the IMF tried to fix the price of gold by dumping tons into the market to dampen the enthusiasm of those seeking a safe haven for a falling dollar after gold ownership was re-legalized. I'll continue with Mr. Paul's pretty brilliant synopsis here. He's not a dumb man. He's wasting his time in Washington, D.C., though. I still say the key to get this republic back is in the states. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Once again, the efforts between 1980 and 2000 to fool the markets as to the true value of the dollar proved unsuccessful. In the past 5 years, the dollar has been devalued in terms of gold by more than 50%. You just can't fool all the people all the time, even with the power of the mighty printing press and money-creating system of the Federal Reserve. Even with all the shortcomings of the fiat monetary system, dollars' influence had thrived. The results seemed beneficial, but gross distortions built into the system remain, and true to form. Washington politicians are only too anxious to solve the problems cropping up with the window dressing, while failing to understand and deal with the underlying flawed policy. Protectionism, fixing exchange rates, punitive tariffs, politically motivated sanctions, corporate subsidies, international trade management, price controls, interest rate and wage controls, super nationalist sentiments, threats of force, and even war are resorted to, all to solve the problems artificially created by a deeply flawed monetary and economic system. In the short run, the issuer of the fiat reserve currency can accrue great economic benefits. In the long run, it poses a threat to the country issuing the world currency. In this case, that's the United States. As long as foreign countries take our dollars in return for real goods, we come out ahead. This is benefit many in Congress failed to recognize as they bash China for maintaining a positive trade imbalance with us. But this leads to a loss of manufacturing jobs to overseas markets as we become more dependent on others and less self-sufficient. Foreign countries accumulate our dollars due to their higher savings rates and graciously loan them back to us at low rates to finance our excessive consumptions. It sounds like a great deal for everyone, except the time will come when our dollars, due to their depreciation, will be received less enthusiastically or even rejected by foreign countries. That could create a whole new ballgame and force us to pay a price for living beyond our means and our production. The shift in sentiment regarding the dollar has already started, but the worst is yet to come. The agreement with OPEC in the late 70s to price oil in dollars has provided tremendous artificial strength to the dollar as the preeminent reserve currency. This has created a universal demand for the dollar and soaks up the huge number of new dollars generated each year. Last year alone, the M3 increased over $700 billion. The artificial demand for our dollar, along with our military might, places us in the unique position to rule the world without productive work or savings and without limits on consumer spending or deficits. The problem is, it can't last. Price inflation is raising its ugly head, and the NASDAQ bubble, generated by easy money, has burst. The housing bubble, likewise created, is deflating. Gold prices have doubled. The federal spending is out of sight, with zero political will to rein it in. The trade deficit last year was over $728 billion. A $2 trillion war is raging, and plans are being laid to expand the war into Iran, possibly Syria. The only restraining force will be the world's rejection of the dollar. It's bound to come and create conditions worse than the 1979-1980, which we required 21% interest rates to correct it. But everything possible would be done to protect the dollar. In the meantime, we have a shared interest with those who hold our dollars to keep the whole charade going. Greenspan, in his first speech after leaving the Fed, said gold prices were up because of concern about terrorism, and not because of monetary concerns or because he created too many dollars during his tenure. Gold has to be discredited and the dollar propped up, even when the dollar comes under serious attack by market forces. The central banks and the IMF surely will do everything conceivable to soak up the dollars in hope of restoring stability. Eventually, they will fail. I'll continue this on the other side of this break, folks. This is one of our United States congressmen that is telling the truth. For once, somebody on Capitol Hill is shooting straight. But you know what? You didn't hear anybody in the mainstream media pick up on this, did you? No, they're scared themselves. We'll be right back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.